So I want to begin by just making a quick ha'ara from the parsha on our topic that we began last week, and we're going to continue this week. It's we're going to be talking about the sugya of hashgacha pratis, how much, and all sorts of interesting questions like that. But it's not enough to know that there is such a thing as hashgacha, even to believe there's such a thing as hashgacha. But our avoda in this regard is to recognize that hashgacha and to have hakaras hatov for that hashgacha. And I was thinking that it was really Yaakov Avinu that was mechadesh that avoda. For example, in our parsha, Yaakov Avinu before says, "Hamalach hagoel osi mikol ra." We'll talk about who that Malach was and what the Malach means. It's actually an interesting question because if you remember the Ramban from Parshas a couple of weeks ago, so the dream of the angels going up and down the ladder, the Hashem nitzav alav vayomar, and the Ramban explains that means that all the other peoples are sort of protected by Malachim. Are watched over by Malachim, but you, Yaakov Avinu, are zochet to a much more direct form of hashgacha. Excuse me. So that's an interesting. I don't know. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't have time to get back to that. If you look at the Ramban, he addresses that point. But the point is, Hamalach hagolo simi kol ra. We have Yaakov Avinu acknowledging and appreciating the Hashgacha Pratis. He was Goel Osi, me Korah. Likewise in Vayishlach, Katonti Mikol HaChasadim Mikol HaAmes Asher Asisa Imadi, HaKadosh Baruch Yaakov thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Hashgacha Pratis in his life. And I don't think you find that by the earlier Avos, by Avram and Yitzchak. In fact, Yaakov actually acknowledged this in our Parsha. What does he say right before then? Ha'alokim asher hisalchu avosai lefanav Avraham Yitzchak. Ha'alokim haro'e osi me'odi ad hayom hazeh. In other words, Yaakov Avinu is comparing the avoda of the earlier avos, Avraham and Yitzchak, versus his avoda. By Avraham and Yitzchak, it's Ha'alokim asher yisalchu avosai lefanav. By him, it's Ha'alokim haro'e osi, the God who shepherds me. Ramban even considers the possible translation of ro'e as in reyus, as in friendship. Me'odi ad hayom hazeh. And if you look at the Midrashim, they note the contrast. This very point. The avod of Avraham Yitzchak was one in which there was hashgacha klalis, and Yaakov is saying, but by me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's roeh osi, and the mashal is shepherding, just like the shepherd looks after the sheep and takes care of their every needs. This sheep is thirsty, and this sheep is hungry. And the lashon of the medrash is l'roeh shu omed umabit bitzono, the shepherd that looks after every need. Yaakov Avinu is saying that for Avraham and Yitzchak it was much more klali. Halokim asher sachu lefanai avosai lefanav Avraham Yitzchak, but for me it's haroeh osi, and there's no end to that care, that appreciation, and therefore Yaakov has this tremendous hakaras hatov. And there's an interesting point here because even though Yaakov was one who, in a sense, has the most difficult life of all the Avos and acknowledges the difficulty, Ma'at ve'ra'im hayu yamai, but at the same time, or maybe it really goes together, he has this appreciation for Hashem's helping him at every step in the way, and that Hakara Satov and the like. There's much more to talk about here in terms of understanding the life of Yaakov, but I think that's just an important daher from our parsha, which is, again, the point being that knowing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha is, you know, being aware that Hashem is Mashgiach is obviously important, but a person has to appreciate it and see the Hashgacha in his life and have Hakar Satov for that Hashgacha. And that's part of our avoda when we're learning this sugya. It has to become lamaisa. That's our number one. Our number two relates to discussions that I had with a number of you post shir about the nature of hishtadlus in light of hashgacha. And we talked last week about the idea that hashgacha and our awareness that our success is b'yad Hashem doesn't preclude our obligation from being mashgiach, and therefore, in a lemaisa way, there'll be times where we'll be doing the same ishtadlus as someone without bitachon, but still our attitude is what distinguishes us and what separates us. But we have this reality that there is a chiyuv ishtadlus, even though we're aware that success is b'yad Hashem. So I think, I know many of you guys are learning Bava Basra, the first parak this year. Some of you are hopefully have gotten up to Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Daf Ches Amud Aleph. So I just wanted to share with you a particular ha'ara that comes out from that sugya that relates to this point. And we'll actually get back to that in a minute, maybe. So I'm going to share with you a piece from the Chazon Ish. I'm going to put it on the chat. I didn't bother. Just one little piece. I didn't bother making a whole new source sheet. So I'm going to just share. Where do I go to? Chat. Oh, here's chat. Okay. So let's see. I just copied it here. Okay. So I hope everyone could see that. So it's a Chazon Ish from Choshen Mishpat, Bava Basra, Simen Hei, Sifkat, and Yud Ches. So if you recall, the Gemara states that Chachamim don't have to participate in the building of the walls of a city, which are being built for protection. All the citizens or the residents of the city have to pay for the construction, the Mishnah tells us, on Zayin Beis of Achoma and Friach. Lasayim, they have to pay for the costs of protecting that city. But Chachamim are exempt. Rabbanan lo tzrichin et yirusa. Chachamim don't need protection. And the Gemara has psukim that teach us this. Now, I should point out that it's clear from the Gemara's psukim that when we say Rabbanan here, we don't just mean Torah scholars in the sense of people who know a lot of Torah, because the raya that we bring is from a drash about tzaddikim, the Gemara says, and later on from a drash about kedoshim. And this is, in fact, Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. If you have a Torah scholar who doesn't live a life of righteousness, he's certainly not exempt. So when we say chachamim or rabbanan, we mean obviously people who don't just talk the talk, but who walk the walk, who are tzaddikim. There's no such thing as a Talmud Chacham. We say Talmud Chacham, the term connotes someone who doesn't just have that knowledge, but someone whose Torah knowledge impacts the way they live and feel. Be that as it may, and again, that's something that you see explicitly when you read the Gemara, that the Rabbanan, that the Rayos are about tzaddikim and kedoshim, not just about scholarship. Be that as it may. So the Gemara says that that the Chachamim, Rabbanan, Talmidei Chachamim are exempt from paying for the city's protection in the sense that they don't have to pay for the walls. And this is l'halacha, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. There's actually interesting discussion whether it applies Bisman Azer anymore. On the one hand, in certain halachos, we assume that we're not some Rishonim assume maybe nowadays we don't have Talmidei Chachamim like the Yerushalmi about paying a huge fee if you offend a Talmud Chacham. And the Rambam actually says that there are those who don't apply this nowadays. The mainstream view is that we do, at least in theory, still apply this nowadays. What it means practically, Bisman says, an interesting question, but for another discussion. Good. So we have this concept of Rabbanan Otsuichi Netirusa. Why? Because Torah is Megan. So there's an obvious question on this in light of what we learned last week. And I guess anyone would have this question. And the question is, I don't understand, but Chachamim also have a chiva v'shtadlos. Ein sol chanal anes. Is it mutter for a Chacham to stand in a dangerous place, to walk under a ladder? Of course it's aser, just like it's aser for everybody else. Chachamim need a shtadlos. So of course, Torah is megen. Beautiful Torah is making. But what happened to Ein Sol Chanal Anes? How could it be mutter? Why don't the Chachamim, and once the Chachamim have a chiyuv to do that hishtadlos, so then why shouldn't they be chayav to pay the taxes? In other words, if the Chachamim have a chiyuv to, let's give a mashal. Let's say you had a city entirely comprised of Talmidei Chachamim. Would they have to build a wall? So from the Gemara, it sounds like, no. Rabbanan lo tzrichin etirusa, right? The reason why they don't have to pay for the wall is because they're not nana from the wall. The Chachamim have to pay for things, the pashtas, that they are nana from. Like, for example, if you're going out to, there's a tax levied to pay for the digging of a well. So the Chachamim need water, so they have to pay for the tax. So that being the case, so the Chachamim need to build a wall. So how do we understand this Gemara? So the Chazon Ish raises this question in his commentary on Bava Basra. That's what I just shared with you. And he says something very interesting. Very interesting. So let's take a look at it together. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Rama Deshura Rabbanan, he imposed the tax to pay for the wall on the Rabbanan. Amar Shlokas Rabbanan, Lo Tzrichin Netirusa. No, the Chachamim should be exempt. Chachamim don't need protection. And we call Pesukim, Yesh Lion, Halo Gam Rabbanan Tzrichim Linhog Minag Olam, Velo Lismoch Al Anes. Chachamim also have to Noeg Minag Olam. Kedaminan Brachos Lamed Hei Hanag Vam Minag Adarch Eretz. Right, that's the famous dispute between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel Yochai. Shmuel Yochai says, "After Adam Chosh B'Shas Chavisha Zer B'Shas Ria, Kote B'Shas Ktsira, Tari Bateila." So, therefore, you should just be involved in Torah only. And Rabbi Shmuel says, "No." Asafta Deganacha Hanigvam Minag Darcharetz, and the Gemara concludes, "Harbe Asuk Rabbi Shmuel Yochai will also be Adam. Harbe Asuk Rabbi Shmuel will also be Adam." It's interesting, by the way. Now is not the time to talk about it. But the Chazon Ish here takes for granted that, of course, we follow the view of Rabbi Shmuel, like the simple meaning of the Gemara. So that raises an interesting question about issues like employment and kolel and the like. But for now, we'll leave those aside, as important as they may be. He takes for granted that you're chayav for hanigvam minag darcharetz. You see here, there's a little ellipsis. I guess just the over there talks about in the missing part that it's aser to put yourself in makom sakana. Like we said before, that halacha even applies for a chacham. Uvuchulin kofem ed aleph abahai veisayer nichsei. It says he used to sort of overlook, check his properties, make sure that nothing was happening to them. Again, he didn't say, Chachamim lo tzrichin etirusa, so I don't need to make sure that my property is being, is okay. So you see, Pashat, that a Chacham, a Tam Chacham, needs to do hishtadlos in terms of protection. And if so, then why is it that Chachamim are Pater Menetirusa. Says the Chazon Ish, the Afshar de Be'ir de Kula Rabbanan Kofin says that Livnos Choma. Now, there's even though the simple meaning of the Gemara sounds like Chachamim don't have to pay for a wall, Chachamim don't need Shmira. So from the Gemara, sounds like if you had a city all comprised of Chachamim, then you wouldn't need to build a wall. And the Chachamim couldn't compel each other to contribute towards the wall. So the Chazon Ish, I don't think that's correct, because Chachamim have to do a shtadlus. Aval be'ir shedarin ba b'nei adam v'yesh b'nei rabbanan. But in a city where it's not all Chachamim, there's some Chachamim, so then matilan asachayma al hamon ha'am, the obligation to pay for the wall is placed upon the hamon ha'am, upturin poten asachachamim, kimo shepturin min amas. Just like they're exempt from other types of taxes, like the Gemara says later on, head tax and the like. Shator patartan, the Torah patters them from taxes. We'll talk about what that is in a moment. Kevan shein mishtadlin al hasagas hamamon bishvil eskam batoira ein lahatil mamonam bishvil mas. So again, we'll get back to that line. It's an important line. Likewise, they're pater from paying for the wall. Now, okay. So what's he saying, basically? He's saying, look, you're right. Chachamim also need to build a wall around their city. And if there's only Chachamim in a city, they would have to pay for the wall. So why are they pater from paying for the wall when they're non-Chachamim living in a city? Because the Chachamim are just generally exempt from taxes. Why are the Chachamim exempt from taxes? Because of their focus on Torah. So that's why they're pater. They're pater because they're exempt from taxes, and this is a tax. Now, the problem is with that, is that it's against the Gemara, because the Gemara says, why are they pater from paying for the wall? Because Chachamim lo tzricha nitirusa, because Torah magenes. The Gemara says that the reason why they're pater from building the wall is because their Torah protects them. So if the reason why they're pater from paying for the wall is because Torah Magina, then they shouldn't have to build a wall at all. In other words, how could the Chazon Ish read the Gemara saying this way? The Gemara said that they're pater because Torah is Magin. And he just says, no, you need to build a wall. Even the Chachamim need a wall. It's just that they're pater because they're pater from taxes, because they're Avodas HaKodesh. It's like the parsonage exemption in the United States, right? Where do you think they got that from? So that's Akasha. So Tosafot, the Chazon Ish is aware of that problem. He answers it. He writes, V'acharei shebe'emes toirason magenes aleihem. Be'emes, the Torah is Megan. Ve'enam nisunim tachas mikrei ha'teva. Kesharbani Adam Lamaisa, the emesis that the Torah is making. That's what the Psukim show. And they're not, now this is a very interesting line, because we'll see, it seems to contradict another Chazon Ish, which we'll see in a moment. If we just had this line and we didn't have any other Chazon Ishes, I would translate this as saying like this. Most people are tachas mikrei hateva. Most people are subject to natural forces. Chachamim are not subject to natural forces because Torah magenes aleihem. And why? And here he says another interesting chiddush, which is going to seemingly contradict his theory, which we'll see in a moment. But again, we're not worried about that yet. Ki hashgachaso yisborach hi lefi midas habitachon she'adam mashloch yavo al bor av yisborach, because hashgacha is that Hashem is boteach, it protects those who are bateach ban. In other words, if someone is mashlech Yahavo al Hashem, if someone trusts in God, so God will protect them to a greater degree. So chachamim are presumed to be greater bali bitachon. It's also interesting, right? Because the Gemara sounds like it's the Torah that's making aleim. It's the Talmud Torah that protects them. The Chazon Ish says it's the protection stems from their greater level of bitachon, right? Because hashgacha is dependent on the midah of bitachon, namely the degree to which a person trusts in God. So the answer to that, I assume, is that, like we said before, when we're talking about chachamim, we're not just talking about academic Torah scholars, we're talking about people whose Torah has defined who they are. So when it comes to people that are talmidei chachamim, people whom Torah has shaped the way they think, so they're going to be Baalei Bitachon. And as Baalei Bitachon, they're zochet to a higher level of shmira. And as such, they would be protected even without a wall. So memela, they're going to be pater from paying. Even though they need the wall, al tzchovas ishtadlas. So therefore, it's only chachamim they'd have to pay. So let's try to understand what he's saying, because it's mamish the idea, I think, that we were saying last week. And it's a very subtle point. But I think, how else are you going to understand this sugya? Right? He's saying a fascinating thing. He's saying that chachamim, we have two populations in the city, right? We'll call them chachamim and non-chachamim. Chachamim, and not every member of the city needs a wall. But chachamim need it for one reason, and the hamon needs it for two reasons. The hamon am needs a city for two reasons. Number one, because of the general chiyuv of ishtadlus, but number two, because since they are not Baalei Bitachon, so they are tachas mikrei hateva, and memela, they might die if they don't have the wall. So everybody needs it because the hamonam needs the wall for two reasons, because of ishtadlus, and because otherwise they might be harmed. The chachamim, on the other hand, only need it for one of those two reasons. They are zoche to a higher level of hashgacha due to their bitachon. So they don't need the wall for the reason of protection. But they do need a wall for a different reason, because they too have a chiyuv ishtadlus. So now, who should they be chayv to pay for the wall? So it makes sense that they should be pater for paying for the wall. Because even though they need a wall, they don't need a wall for protection. They only need the wall for the chayv ishtadlus. So memela, the Torah said that they're pater from paying for the wall. And then he continues.
Why can't they be, I'd say, their chiyuv of ishtadlus by doing anything else? Like, why isn't their learning Torah a way to satisfy the ishtadlus requirement?
That would be somchen al hanes, right? If you're right, they could learn a lot of Torah and then put yourself in a reckless situation. Let's say Talmud Chacham doesn't have to wear a seatbelt because he learns Torah. So he's doing ishtadlus that way, right? That's obviously wrong. So al tishtadlus, they're chayv for the wall. But it makes sense that they shouldn't have to pay for it. And I'll just read the last line, and then I'll take your question, Gabe. The Afshar Lefizeh, the Gam Rabbanan Kofin, Es Shar B'nei Ha'ir, Liv Neschama. Says, Ken Zayin, not only do they not have to pay for it, but because they need it, they could demand it. In other words, you might have thought, actually, that's the position of the Radvaz. The Radvaz says, look, since you're not going to pay for it, you can't demand that the city, let's say there's a city again, where, 25% kolol yingalite, 75% balabatim. And let's assume, which might be a bad assumption, we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, but let's assume kolol yingalite qualify for the exemption of chachamim. So the chachamim, that 25% of the population doesn't have to pay for the wall. But can they demand that the other 75% pay for the wall? Let's say the other 75% of the population decide, you know what, we don't want a wall, too expensive. So normally the halacha is, this is Mivur in the Tosefta, it's Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yerucha makes a diuk, that a minority, when it comes to a basic protection, like a wall, the minority can compel the majority to pay for it, like the Mishnah says. So let's say It's the chachamim, that 25% that are the non-taxpayers, want to compel the 75% who are the taxpayers to pay for the wall. So the Radva says, no, that's not fair. It's one thing, you don't have to pay for it, but you can't demand it. Why can't you demand it? Because you don't need it. You don't need the wall. And once you say, I need a wall, so then pay for it. But the Chazon Ish says, no, maybe not. They can compel. Why could they compel? Because since they need, they're a chiyuv to build a wall, they could demand it, but they still don't have to pay for it because they don't need it, alts protection. Because they would be safe even if there was no wall. They just needed alts chovas ishtadlos. Okay. So ad kan Chazon Ish. Well, we'll talk about how this relates to other Chazon Ishes in a moment, but let me hear your question, Gabe.
So just two quick questions. One, in terms of the bitachon aspect, we're just assuming that a person who's talmid chacham has more bitachon.
I mean, it's a good question. I mean, it's not me. That's what the Chazon Ish is assuming. So where is the Chazon Ish getting that from in the Gemara? Meich Tesi, right? So I think the diuk, that's why I was trying to make the diuk before, is from the Gemara itself. Because the Gemara says, chachamim lo tzrichin et yirusa. And what does it bring? A raya? The raya is about tzadikim, right? And that's raya number one, because the drasha from the sand. And raya number two, the Gemara on top of Chesed Aleph, brings another raya from Kol Kedosh Abiyadacha, from Kedoshim. So why is there a raya from tzadikim? I thought we're talking about chachamim. We should bring a raya from chachamim. How could you bring a raya from tzadikim and from Kedoshim? So the answer is that when we talk about Rabbanan Lotzichin et Yerusa, we don't just mean Torah scholarship. We mean someone whose Torah defines who they are, who lives by the values of the Torah. And one of the values of the Torah is bitachon. So even though it's the bitachon that's the megin, it's the chachamim that are pater. So that's I think, what the Chazon Ish is assuming. Yes.
And can I say second question?
Sure.
The chacham, we're saying the chacham only need the wall alts shadlus. They don't need the alts protection.
Right.
But if they would fail to do the proper shadlus, then they would need the alts protection, right?
Meaning, no, they would just be doing an avera.
But it's not shad that if I don't put in the proper shadlus, then I lose that zechus.
Sometimes that's what we talked about last week. The Mesillas Yesharim makes this point. It might be that the onash for the chait of not doing a shadlus will be that you'll be attacked. But be'etzem, that's just because of the onesh of lack of hishtadlos. And there's lemaisa, these chachamim, right, this is what the Chazon Ish is saying, these chachamim don't need protection. They will not be attacked regardless. They could, they're going to be safe and sound, but they still have a chiyuv to live in a walled city. I think that's what he's saying. Otherwise, how do you explain this Gemara? How do you explain why there's no problem of Ein Samchan al Anes? I don't know. I didn't see any other interpretation on this Gemara. So I think it's just a fascinating. Again, I only got into this Derech Agav. I wasn't really planning to talk about it, but I think since the Chefer's learning Bava Basra, so it's kedai to see the sugya. I'll point out just another marmako we don't have time to talk about today, but there's a, in terms of, you know, what the nature of this Ptur is, to whom does it apply? And especially in the context of Israel, there are those who say that the reason why Talmidei HaYeshiva should be exempt from participating in the IDF is because of this Gemara. And whether that is a good excuse or not is a very interesting question discussed by thinkers. I will point you to a tremendous article on this topic by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein called The Ideology of Hester. It was originally written in Hebrew, but it's translated into English and published in Tradition, I think, in 1980. You could get the article from the Tradition website for free. I could maybe I'll put it in the chat after this year. He deals with a number of issues, including this question as to whether this Gemara is relevant in that context. Not surprisingly, he argues that it's not, at least not fully relevant, maybe though partially relevant in the sense that in Hester Yeshiva do a don't do the full regular army service. But anyway, it's an interesting marmakom. Ah, shkayach Yonatan for putting the article on the chat. And so that's another interesting marmakom on this topic. Let's really, my intention today was to talk about Rambam's Shita on Hashgacha. But I'm thinking now maybe that since we're thinking so much about the topic of Bitachon and the Chazon Ish, we'll talk a little bit more about the Chazon Ish and Bitachon and the definition of Bitachon. And so I guess maybe that's what we'll talk about today. I would say it's not right to push the Rambam until next week, but we'll probably have to push the Rambam until next week. So let's take a look at that. If you go back to your Makoros sheets, and look in terms of the Makoros sheet to the section that's entitled Bitachon, you'll see the first source is a pasuk from Yirmiyahu over there. So if you could just follow along there, and it's followed by a Chazon Ish. And again, one of the things that we're going to try to figure out is how is the Chazon Ish that we just saw from his Sefer and Choshen Mishpat consistent with Chazon Ish and Sefer Emunah B'Tachlon. But let's take one.
What page on the source sheet?
I'm sorry?
What's the page number?
Oh, I don't have page numbers in my version. Just search down to where it says B'Tachlon. It's a little, you know, not so far after we left off from last week. More or less right afterwards. Okay? And you're looking, the first thing is Yirmiyahu. Just scroll down. Okay. Page four. Okay, Shkayach. All right. So we're going to talk about for a moment two terms. We often refer to these terms, Emunah and Bitachon. And how are these terms related? I think the way most people look at it is that Emunah refers to a person's belief in God or in Torah or the principles like the Ikari Emunah. We say, if you believe in Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikari Emunah, you're a Maimon. And Bitachon is something else. A person could be a Maimon and he might not have Bitachon. Bitachon means a trust. It's an emotion. It reflects a relationship. Now, I should point out that that is not always the connotation of the word emunah. Emunah also frequently has the connotation of what we call bitachon. In fact, I think Rabbi Rosenzweig, I heard on YU Torah, gave a very beautiful shiur on this topic a couple of months ago. Maybe you could also put that on the chat, where he pointed out that oftentimes the word emunah, both in Tanakh and in Chazal, refers to what we're talking now about bitachon, right? For example, Noach is said to be a miktane amana. Why? Because he didn't enter the teva until it started flooding. Now, Noach certainly believed in God. After all, you know, he worked on the teva for 120 years. I don't think he lacked belief in the Ikari Emunah. So what we mean when we say he's Miktane Amana is that his Emunah was not manifest in this particular behavior. And therefore, he delayed entering the teva. Another mashal, I think Rabbi Rosenzweig mentioned, is the Medrash says, Shmos Rabba Parakimel, that when Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, V'hein lo yaminu bi, Klal Yisrael is not going to have emunah. So Hashem chastises him, and he says, no, you're being motzi lazim bnei Yisrael, they're maminim bnei maminim. And shows how the Avos had emunah. And he says, and you know, you're not going to have emunah. As the Pasuk says, la yan lo heman tembi. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu and Mei Meriva demonstrated a lack of emunah. Obviously, some level, some very subtle level. But the chet was a lack of emuna. Again, it's pashut that Moshe was a believer. I don't think anyone would have havamina that in the chet of Meimariva, whatever exactly it was, that there was a shmek of agnosticism klape the yud gimel yikar emuna. What it means is apparently that on some level his emuna wasn't manifest in his behavior, in a sense what we usually call bitachon. So it is important then to note that oftentimes the word emuna, when we use the word emuna, when we find the word emuna, we mean what we're calling bitachon now. But for our purposes, we're going to distinguish between the two terms, emuna bitachon. It's a helpful distinction nonetheless. You know, it does raise another very interesting issue, which, again, maybe is beyond the topic of today's discussion. But since we're almost starting Chazara, we can think about back to those first shiurim we gave in Elzman when we were talking about Shuvah. And it raises actually an interesting question. When a person says, I have emuna, right? I believe in all principles of faith, but their behavior doesn't necessarily reflect their emuna. So let's say a person is a maimin. They believe in Hashem, they believe in Hashkacha, but then they cut corners in business. So we see, so you lack bitachon, right? Because if you really believed that Hashem controls everything, among other things, I mean, besides the fact that you're violating the Torah, but you would also appreciate that you're not going to make any money off of this, right? Your parnas was already nigzar, so you're not going to benefit, right? Nobody would Nobody would cheat if they don't think they're going to get rich off the cheating. If anyway you're going to make the same amount of money, so you're not going to bother cheating, right? So obviously then, so what are we going to say? We're going to say, but the person believes in Hashkacha, it's just not manifest in his behavior. So he has emuna, but he lacks bitachon. Okay, that might be true. But probably, you know, what that means is that his emuna has not penetrated his inner conscience. In other words, it's intellectual. He says it. And he's not even lying when he says it, but as we talked about in Elzman, you know, you're much more than the things that you say and even the things that you consciously think. Our behavior is governed by much more deep things. So he hasn't internalized his emuna. So again, in a sense, what we're saying then is that the division between emuna and bitachon is somewhat artificial. But nevertheless, I think it's somewhat of a helpful distinction to make. Yes, Yonatan.
The Chovah should also distinguish between somebody who acts in a way that is in disaccord with his emuna, if he does a bemezer or b'shogeg.
Yes, of course.
Says, I know that this is true, but I just can't hold up to that. Or if a person just had a lapse of memory.
Agreed. But what I'm pointing out is that even the lapses reflect a lack of having internalized that emuna, right? Your lapses oftentimes reflect where you're holding in a deeper place, because it's the decisions that you don't consciously make that in a sense reveal your deeper inner positions that you might not even be aware of consciously. And that's what we talked a lot about in Elzman, when we were talking about the Avod of Tshuva and why it is, you know, what Tshuva is supposed to accomplish, why it is that we do Tshuva and then we end up messing up so many times, because the Tshuva that we're doing addresses our conscious thoughts, whereas the source for our Averos is really much deeper. So okay. But let's assume for now, we're gonna use this distinction Even though, again, it's something that we have to be aware of, is somewhat of an artificial distinction. So let's look at a pasuk where the Torah uses this term bitachon, and I think it will help us get a definition of what bitachon is. So here we have Pesachim Yirmiyahu, Perek Yud Zayin. These are famous Pesachim. At least half of the Pesachim are famous because of the song. Sometimes the songs, gloss over the more scary types of things, or they just play them in fast music so you don't realize that they're scary. So the pasuk says, Ko amar Hashem, Arur hagever sheivtach ba'adam, v'sam basar zro'o, umin Hashem yasur libo. Cursed is the person who is boteach ba'adam. V'sam basar zro'o, he makes flesh, his roa, his arm, and from Hashem, he turns his heart. This, first of all, this is starting by just informing us of a very important yesod, which is oftentimes we contrast bitachon b'Hashem and bitachon b'Adam. A person needs bitachon. You can't function without trusting, but you could trust in a person, you could trust in yourself, or you could trust in God. When you're boteach ba'adam, when I'm dependent upon somebody else, then in a sense, if I put my bitachon in that person, then it's min Hashem yasur libo. Again, we're not talking about ishtadlus, but we're talking about bitachon. And when it comes to bitachon, in a certain sense, it's either or. Either you're boteach ba'Hashem or you're boteach ba'adam. So Arur is the person who is boteach ba'adam and sar me Hashem. Vayake arar barava v'lo yireki avotov v'shachan charerim bamidbar eretz melecha v'lo seishev. So what's going to be with such a person? He's going to be like a lone tree in the plain. He's not going to see when the good comes. He's going to live on parched land in the desert, on salt, sodden soil, which is non-inhabitable. On the other hand, Baruch HaGever Sheivtach B'Hashem Haya Hashem Yivtacho. But if you're Boteach B'Hashem, and again, the repetition here is very significant, he's your Mivtach, so then you're going to be Baruch. Vayake Chasul Al Pagei Mayim Val Yuval Yishalach Sharashav Velo Yirek Yabo Chom Vaya Alehu Ranan Uvishnas Betzoris Lo Yidag Velo Yamish Measos Peri. So blessed is the man who trusts in Hashem, who has bitachon, and he's going to be like the tree planted by the river, and when the rivulet spreads its roots, and he's not going to suffer from the heat, and his leaves are going to be green and luscious, and he's not going to worry. Right? That's a very important point. We'll return to it. Vishnas patsaras lo yidag. When there's a famine, he's not worried. And he's never going to stop from making fruits. Now, really, there's two yisodos here, right? And they're very different from each other, and we have to figure out what they mean. One is the idea that he's not going to be worried. He's not going to have daigos. That's something that we already saw last week. We saw that in the Chovos HaLevavos, that someone who has bitachon is not worried. Why? Because he understands that everything is b'yad Hashem. He still might be doing ishtadlus, but he's not worried because it's b'yad Hashem. But then there's an additional chiddush here, which we have to understand, seemingly a much bigger chiddush, which is that the person with bitachon will always be oseperi, will always be matzliach. And the question is that really what's being said here? So I think oftentimes when we study this topic, we could talk about two schools of thought. The first school of thought, I would say the mainstream school of thought, is that bitachon does not guarantee protection. It's a tremendous mila, but it's not the pshat that if you have bitachon, everything's always going to come out hunky-dory. No, that's not true. And then there's the second pshat that says that no, that bitachon itself will put you into breathing. You have bitachon, that, so you will be protected. And in a sense, that's the most simple reading of the above psukim, because the psukim say that the boteach will always be good, his leaves will always be lush, lo yamush mi'asos pari. So those are the two schools of thought. So now let's carefully analyze and try to understand each mahalach and see is there really a mahalachus here and try to understand both mahalachim. So the first school of thought that I said is oftentimes attributed to the Chazon Ish. We'll see that there's many antecedents in the Rishonim as well, but the Chazon Ish spells it out very beautifully. So let's just take a look at what he says over here again in your source sheets. So I guess first, let's say it a little bit outside and then we'll read it inside. The Chazon Ish is going to say that the concept of bitachon is widely understood. Many people think that if you just trust in God, if you have bitachon, then everything will come out okay. Now, there's an obvious problem with this theory. Let's just give a gross example, right? Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was killed by the Nazis, and many, many Kedoshim have been killed throughout our years. Are we going to say that it's because he lacked bitachon, that had he had more bitachon, he would be have saved? L'chayra dvarim elonitan le'yamer. Must be that even someone who has full bitachon cannot be confident that they'll be saved. And after all, why should they be? How do they know that even if a person fully believes that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the good, kol man de'avid rachman alatav avid, but who says you know what's for the good? So how could you be confident that your bitachon will give you the outcome that you perceive to be good? Maybe you just don't know what good is. So you can be confident that it'll be good, but it might not be what you're hoping for. You might not be saved. So im kein, if bitachon doesn't mean you're going to be saved, so what does bitachon mean? So let's take a look at the Chazon Ish. Let's read it inside. So what we're about to read here now is from the Chazon Ish Sefer Emunah Bitachon. It's a little pamphlet, a small book. Very, very important, something you should all read. Really addresses many of the very fundamental questions. It's very beautifully written, very poetic. So let's just take a look. This is from Perek Beis, which is really where he addresses this question. Ta'os no shanes nis azrecha b'leiv rabim b'musag bitachon. So there's a problem, a deeply rooted problem in the hearts of many people concerning the topic of bitachon. What does bitachon mean? Shem bitachon meshamish lemida mehulalav ikarit b'fiyah chasidim nistoveva b'musag chova l'hamin b'chol mikre shepogesh adam ha'amido l'kras asid b'lti mochra b'shnei drachim b'asid achas tova v'lo shniya. Ki betach yatov v'mistapek v'choshesh al ha'hepech atov hu mechusar bitachon. So the way many people think of bitachon is, and maybe in a couple minutes when we get to the second school of thought, we'll see that he's taka coming lafuke, certain gedolim who had this approach. He says it's the hamon who think this way. We'll have to see if it's not just the hamon. But there are those who think, and this is a terrible error, that bitachon means that everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to turn out good. And if you have that bitachon, then taka will turn out good. And if you lack that bitachon, then it won't. Ve'ein hora'azu bitachon nechona. This is not the correct definition of bitachon. Shekol shalom nizbar b'nevua goyral ha'asid. Ein asid mukhra, right? Unless you're a prophet, how are you going to know what's going to be? Ki mi yode mishpat Hashem v'gmulosav yisparach. Who knows the mishpatei Hashem? Right? In other words, that assumption is very presumptuous. It's saying, look, as long as I have bitachon, it's going to come out the way I want, because what I want is what's good. And who says? Who made you so smart? Aval inyan ha-bitachon hu ha-emun she'en mekre ba-olam. So what is bitachon? It's the belief that there's no mikre ba-olam. No mikre. L'chol anas etachas ha-shemesh. Anything that happens in our world, ha-kol be'achroza mito yisborach. Now, he's drawing on the lashon we saw last week in Chazal, that everything that happens, even the smallest things like stubbing your toe, there's a hachraza mishamayim. And he's saying that is essentially the same thing as saying, ein mikra ba'olam. There's no such thing as mikra. Now, ha'ara you might have here, which we alluded to before, is that Chazonish from Bava Basra that we read this morning that said that regular people, non-botchim, non-chachamim, are tachas mikre hateva. Right. Einam nesunim, the chachamim are not nasan tachas mikre hateva, teva kishar bnei adam. So we'll get back to that. We'll suggest a yishuv, but that's a ha'ara for now. Excuse me. So so there's no such thing as teva. No such thing as teva. That's what bitachon is. Belief that there's no such thing as teva. B'chol anaseh tachas ha-shemesh kol b'achazim mito yisparach. V'kasher adam nefgash b'mikrash sher lefi ha-noik sheba oylam tzipui alav sakana midarki ha-teva lefchod mitiv as ha-oylam. So you're in a dangerous situation. Right, meaning to say, Alpitava, you're in trouble. The Kashas Rucho, your Pehu, Miliskor, Shein, Amikra, Adoneha, Lanu, the Ein Matsor, Lashem, Loshia, Ulhachin, Misavivim, Sheyach, Lifu, As, Kolhamisel, Vavim. And you forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could get you out of this. That means you're not in Sakana, because Hashem is controlling everything. The Avlagat, Bishah, Kashal, Azu, Ulahashros Bekirbo S O M S Hayadua Ki Ain Kan Lefano Shum Pegaran Miyada Mikra Raka Kome Tois Barach Bain Tov Bain Lamutav. And you forget that Hashem controls everything. So that means that you've lacking, you're lacking bitachon. On the other hand, if you remember that, do you remember that even when there's a cherev chada munachas al tzavarecha, but Hashem is still controlling the show, whether or not you make it or not is entirely and exclusively biyad Hashem. So be'etzem then, you're not more likely to live or die because Hashem is controlling the shots. Inyan zat yikra'ehu midas bitachon. That is bitachon. That is bitachon. Umidas ha-bitachon lahamid atzmo al nekudas ha-emuna af ba'aloso al machshavto tzad ha-yisurim v'shia libo er kilo ha-mikra pigato ve'in mikra ba'olam klal rak ha-kol me'ito. So everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is bitachon. Will it come out okay or not? You know, a person's in trouble. Will they live or die? I don't know. It's biyad Hashem. Will having bitachon save you? No. So what does bitachon mean? Bitachon means realizing it's from Hashem. And like we said before, what's the opposite of bitachon? Thinking it's biyad Adam. That is the definition of bitachon. Yes, Gabe.
I was just wondering, he says like bein tov, bein lamutav. That's in a subjective sense, right? Meaning, koman davidachon latav avid.
Correct. Agreed. Now, there's a point, though, is that you have to realize that whatever happens, whether it's what you perceive as good and what you perceive as bad, is biyad Hashem. So, In other words, bitachon will not save you necessarily. Yes, Yonatan.
According to the Chazanish, wouldn't a boteach define things that, as a somebody who's not on his level, if somebody on another level defined things as being bad, a boteach on the contrary would define them as being worse and therefore they're good. Meaning it's also perspective is different.
You could definitely say that. Yes. Now, we should point out that there's another issue. We pointed out one stira with the Chazon Ish and Bava Basra. There's another stira with the Chazon Ish and Bava Basra, which is that the Chazon Ish and Bava Basra, didn't he say that the Midah of Bitachon will protect the Tzadikim and the Chasidim? Right? That's what he said. He said, that's why Chachamim lo tzrichim nitiusa, because they have more Bitachon, and therefore, Memela, they'll be protected from the harm. So even though they're still Chayev, still they're Pater. So we really have two stiras in this Chazon Ish. Both of them we need to address. Yes, Avram.
How does the Chazon Ish learn like stories in the Gemara, like let's say Choni Amago, when the Gemara in Tainus describes him in the bed that his house is about to collapse on him, and he tells his Talmidim, wait, don't take me. Take all my stuff out first and then take me, because I know it's not going to fall on me. And the second he leaves, after they take him out, the whole thing collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so take a look at the Chazon Ish. He actually addresses that. And seeing as we're running out of time, I'm going to give you guys an assignment. Okay, homework. Really, I wanted to move on for next week, but maybe we should keep on talking about this. This is an important episode. So homework assignment number one is to actually read the Chazon Ish. And Avram's question's a good question. He addresses that. I want you to think about the stiros we've raised in the Chazon Ish. See if I maybe share some answers that you have with me, if you have any answers. Number two, I'll point out, we're not going to have a chance to read it, but if you look at some of the makaros that follow, I think you'll see Rishonim that seem to learn like the Chazon Ish. Here you have from the Kara Kemach, from Shar HaBitachon, and quoting an important Rabbeinu Yonah, and there are other examples. So that is that Mahalich. That is that Mahalich of the Chazon Ish. And again, read the whole Chazon Ish. At least read all of Perek Beis. It's not very long, and the like. The second assignment is to consider the other approach. Other approach, among others, is the Nevardiker approach. It's presented by Rav Dessler in Michtav Me'eliyahu Chelek Hei, Amud Ayin Hei, which is partially in your source sheet, so you should read that. Better to read the whole thing. And if you have time to listen, you should listen to the following, because it's a long listen. But the Nevardic approach is very hard for us to understand and relate to. Very hard. But I think a incredibly powerful presentation of that Mahalich was given by Rav Aaron Lapiansky this past Tisha B'Av during Kinos. In the Kina of Arze Alvanon, I think he always talks about, you know, one person who's not so well known. And so he talked about a Nevardiker, probably someone who you've never heard of, not the altar of Nevardik, someone who lived subsequently, but whom lived his Mahalich. And if you really want to understand that approach, which is important to understand, you should listen to it. You could listen to the shiurim on his website, or it's easier to find if you have the app. So Kedai, anyway, to have the app, if you could get an app. Maybe I'll try to find a link to the shiur. If someone could post a link to the shiur, it's from the Kinos this past year. And again, it's a Mahalich, something that's very far, from us. And but take a look, read the piece from Rav Dassler, listen to that shiur, and Bez Hashem, next time we will try to have a deeper understanding of both Mahalchim and what they mean for us. And I don't know when we're going to get to the Rambam and the Ramban and the like, but maybe another time. Yes, Yonatan.
Is the shiur maybe called the Gershon Libman? Is
that yes, mean? That's it, Gershon. Okay, so you could post it?
Yes.
Okay, Geschmack, thank you. Okay. Shkayach. Okay, so I'm leaving you off with a lot of questions, and but I think you'll if you do a little bit of hachana for next year, maybe you'll be able to appreciate it more, and then maybe you'll come up with your own insights and approaches. And again, anybody who has a mahalich and being miyash of these two passages in the Chazon Ish, please let me know. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Shabbos, thank you.
Have a great Shabbos. Thanks.
Yes.